The message tonight is a request to be remembered. I want to read you three passages, one from Luke, one from Corinthians, and one from Hebrews. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I shall not eat it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he received a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I shall not drink from henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. This was the Passover. And now, verse 19 is the institution of the Lord's Supper. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the cup in like manner after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, even that which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goeth, as it hath been determined, but woe unto that man through whom he is betrayed. And they began to question among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there arose also a contention among them which of them was accounted to be the greatest. And now 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 17. But in giving you this charge, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church as an assembly, I hear that divisions exist among you, and I partly believe it. And when they come, one is hungry, one is drunken. And verse 22, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was being betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh, eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. But if we discerned ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And now Hebrews chapter 10. Mm-mm. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day drawing nigh. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the things that you have selected from the teachings of our Lord, from the activities of our Lord, and recorded them for us, and also those things that you recorded in the Gospels for us, and then gave them to us again in an additional portion of thy word. We are thankful for this. We see of its importance to you. We pray, our God, that it shall become important to us. And so, indeed, we would desire to consider this man who asks to be remembered. We learned, our Father, of his remembrance of us, and our God, we rejoice. Is it not said concerning him, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end? We thank you for the consideration of him. We pray, our God, that in his consideration of us, there shall be satisfaction to his heart and not sadness. And so for the blessings of the day, we thank you, and we look to thee for being fed from the scriptures this night. As you gave help, so again, our Father, we are cast upon thee. So bless thy people here tonight. May our coming together be profitable, we ask of thee. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are some things of the law that are carried over, even though we are not under law but under grace, yet there are some of those things that God repeats in the New Testament and applies them to us. One of them is in Luke 22, just before the institution of the Lord's Supper, and that is the Jewish Passover. You say, well, that is done, that's gone. But it says in 1 Corinthians 5, Christ, our Passover, hath been sacrificed. Let us keep the feast of unleavened bread. You see, that's a remarkable thing. Why, of course it is. Because even though we are not under law for salvation, there are certain principles and teachings and types in the law that are pertinent to us. And I've just given you one, and I could give you many more, because it says Christ our Passover. I thought Christ was the Jews' Passover. But it says, Christ to the Corinthians, our Passover, hath been sacrificed. And what is so remarkable is this, that if you were present at that last Passover and the first Lord's Supper, you would hardly be able to detect when one ended and the other began. Because the table was spread, our Lord had sent Peter and John to find that large upper room furnished where the Savior with his apostles could eat the Passover, and that was done. And at this Passover supper was all that was necessary to institute the Lord's Supper. And so the same bread that they'd been eating with the Passover is taken, and the Savior takes that bread and he breaks it. The Passover bread becomes the Lord's Supper bread, and the fruit of the vine of the Passover becomes the fruit of the vine for the Lord's Supper. Do you see how intimately they are connected? And this is what God would have us to understand about the old and the new. And I would bring to your attention now some similarities with the requirements and the tokens of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, as there are tokens in the New Covenant. It was this in the Old Testament. The token that God gave to Abraham and then under the law in Leviticus chapter 12, the token of circumcision, that was one of the Old Testament tokens of the covenant of the law. And also, in Exodus 31, there was the observance of the Sabbath day. He said, it is a token between me and Israel forever. So here are two tokens. One of them is a physical thing pertaining to the body. The other is a chronological thing pertaining to a certain day. And God said, these two things are going to be tokens of the covenant that I've made with you. Now, think of the Lord's Supper. Once a man trusts Christ as Savior, immediately he is to be baptized. That is the physical token of the covenant. The second also is chronological, because when the Lord Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, he says, as often as you do it, this do in remembrance of me. There is a certain day, a Lord's day, on which we gather together to break the bread and drink the fruit of the vine. And so, now that we are saved, it is not that under grace there are no tokens, there are no physical things involved. There are physical things involved. I told you that in Hosea, God spoke about the 10,000 things of my law. Well, under the new covenant, there are not 10,000 things. There are just a few things. And as Israel, as they went through the wilderness with the tabernacle, think of the abundance of physical things they had to carry with them if they were going to worship the Lord. But when we came to the remembrance meeting this morning, all that was necessary was bread and the fruit of the vine. That was all. The day was the first day of the week, and all that we needed was bread and the fruit of the vine, and we had that. But when God required the Israelites at a certain time to appear before him, he said, you shall not appear before me empty. And when we finished remembering the Lord this morning, the basket was passed and we had something to give to the Lord. There was more. There was a spiritual remembrance of the Lord as well. They were to bring that basket when the tithe was given, and they were to take that basket that was full and set it down before the priest and make a confession before him. And also, we are to bring a spiritual basket full of things glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ and set them before the Lord. And so, do you see the similarities? Ours is the Lord's Supper, and theirs was the Passover Supper. But there are great similarities. And as Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed, in this spiritual sense, the Passover relates to us. Also, there was that circumcision, and it says in Colossians chapter 2 that we have been circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, the taking away of the flesh. Circumcision pictured the removal of the flesh. And God said concerning Israel that in the coming day he was going to circumcise their hearts. And now it says in Colossians chapter 2 that we have been circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. And also, we have been baptized with a baptism not only physical, but also spiritual as well. We have been baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, there are similar things. Things that God wanted under the old covenant, and things that God wants under the new covenant. But the remarkable thing is this. If you were in the Old Testament concerning certain days to be remembered, there were seven feasts in Leviticus chapter 23, and God expected the Israelites to be present at all of them. He said, every male is to appear before me three times in the year. You said there were seven. Yes, but the three meetings came at such a time that when they came, the others were so closely united, they could observe all. For instance, when they observed the Passover, that's on the 14th of the month. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the 15th of the month, and the Feast of First Fruits is the 16th of the month. You come that first time, and you can include three feasts in the first time, and then Pentecost, and then also the blowing of trumpets. But just understand that this observance of certain days that God had prescribed for the nation of Israel, He did not ask them if they wanted to come. He said, you must come. And when you come, you are not to appear before me empty. And He has said similar things to us. And I find it remarkable that we as Christians, having preached the gospel, telling what God is doing for us, fail to emphasize what the Savior said in John chapter 4, that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father is seeking worshipers in the New Testament, just as He insisted on worshipers and remembrances of Him at His feasts. So, in the New Testament, He wants to be worshipped individually, yes. I hope you have your time with the God individually, every day, and worship Him. But also, it said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so there is the collective remembrance of God and worshiping of God, and that occurs when, in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, this do in remembrance of me, we come together. And when we come, He does not want us to come empty. God says concerning the Old Testament saints, you are not to come empty, and if you worship me, the sacrifice you bring must be perfect. It must be without blemish. There can be no flaw in it. And that can mean that there is only one thing that we can bring to God through whom we can worship Him, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ in all His perfections. He is the Lamb of God, and examine Him as you will. You can find no spot nor blemish. And God says, that's the way I wanted to be worshipped in the Old Testament. And He says, that is the way I want to be worshipped in the New Testament. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices, the fruit of our lips. Spiritual sacrifices, yes. They offered physical sacrifices in the Old Testament. Now, we with intelligence, with spiritual comprehension, interpret the significance of those physical sacrifices and then express them with our lips to the Father, and we tell Him of the perfections and glories of His Son, and then we are doing in reality what God understood alone that they were doing physically in the Old Testament. Every sacrifice that was ascending to God, it was a sweet savor of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin offering was Jesus made sin for us, and God alone understood the significance of those things. No Jew understood what all those things meant. But finally, when Jesus came upon the scene, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so God in the Old Testament was seeking worshipers, and God in the New Testament is seeking worshipers. And the sad thing is this, that God said there is no excuse for those who will not come to my feasts in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, tell me, at the remembrance meeting or at the 11 o'clock service, where will there be more people? You say, why, at the 11 o'clock service. And need I say, at the evening service, will there be more or less people? But understand that there are meetings and God says, I want you to be there. And He expects it of us because, having received the grace of God as a free gift, He in turn expects us as that tenth leper to return and fall at the feet of Jesus and give God thanks. And that is what the remembrance meeting is for. And insistence upon it is to this degree. And also, I'm so sad about the attitude of the apostles in the New Testament contrasting with the attitude of the ones in Numbers 9 concerning a Passover that they were unable to observe. There are certain spiritual conditions a man must have, or he is not to eat and drink of the Lord's Supper. In like manner, there were certain physical requirements for a man to be purified before he could partake of the Passover supper. And in Numbers 9, this had occurred. Not because of any fault of their own, but some men had been in the presence of one who had died suddenly. And if you were in the presence of death, you were defiled and you were not able to observe the Passover. So, the Passover in the first month on the 14th day went by, and these men were forbidden of God to observe it. And most of us would say, well, it was not my fault. It was an act of God. I could not help it that the man died and defiled me just the time that I was to observe the Passover. That's the attitude of most people. But the ones who had been defiled, when it happened, they went to Moses and said this, look, we want to observe the Passover. And we were unclean by accident, not any sin, any failure in our lives. It was an accident. Why are we not able to keep the Passover? And Moses said, I will go and consult God. You see, the Lord told them ever so many things to do, but then certain emergencies arose, certain situations that had not been considered, and God considered them one by one as they arose, like the daughters of Zelophehad. And when they inquired of God, why can we not keep the Passover? The Lord said this, I'm going to arrange the second month, the first day, or the second month, the 14th day, instead of the first month and the 14th day. You can come and observe the Passover then. Isn't that a lovely thing? That a man insists that he is going to keep the Passover because his God wants him to keep the Passover. He remembers his being delivered by the mighty hand of God out of Egypt, and he says, I want to observe that Passover, remembering God's deliverance of me as a slave from Egypt, from the power of Pharaoh. I want to remember this. And God says, you want to remember it? Then I will ordain the second month, the 14th day, during which you can keep the Passover. Now, contrast that, and this is heartbreaking. In Luke chapter 22, when the hour was come, they sat down for the Passover. And the Lord Jesus said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You see the condition of heart of our Savior? He had longed to fellowship with His apostles around the Passover feast. That was His desire. And I read to you that there arose a contention among them who was the greatest. Can you imagine such a thing? How could such a thing happen at so precious an hour in the presence of the Lord Jesus? What a disappointment. But more than that, in the Garden of Gethsemane He said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. Watch and pray with me, And he came back and found them sleeping again and again and again. And think of the disappointment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here are things that are precious to Christ, but to them, well, I'm sleepy, or it's important that I be considered the highest, the greatest among all the apostles. And the Lord Jesus is thinking about shedding his precious blood for the forgiveness of sins, and they are thinking about who is going to be greatest in the kingdom. And so this is why you and I, when we come to the Lord's Supper, the first day of the week, because there was no specified time as to when it happens, but you'll find that the term that our Savior uses is this, not the first month, the 14th day, but it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. He uses the word as often as, and that can be interpreted in a variety of ways. And what is so remarkable is some interpret it once in the year, some once in a quarter, some once in the month, and some once the first day of every week. Because in Acts chapter 20, on the first day of the week, they gathered together to break bread. And then you will find that not only did they do it once a week, but some were doing it every day. And so in God's sight, it makes no difference. But I remember a dear brother who is a pastor in the denomination, and he was asking about the observance of the Lord's Supper the first day of every week. He said, now, the Lord doesn't tell us to remember him the first day of every week. I said, you're right. The Lord says, as often as you eat this bread. I said, now interpret often with me. I said, how often do you preach to your flock? He said, the first day of every week. I said, that's all I want to know. That is how you interpret often, and therefore you preach to them the first day of the week, and you preach to them on Wednesday. And is it a strange thing that when the Lord said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we take it as the first day of the week, once every week? And he acknowledged it, and he said, I understand. And so thank God for such a thing. And so what God demanded of the Jews in the Old Testament, they had to be there three times in the year. And it says, if they were not there, it wasn't that God overlooked it. It said, he shall be cut off from his people. And so that's how serious it was to God. And how serious is it to you? Which is greater? The Passover that was celebrated with symbols? You had the lamb, but that symbolized the Lord Jesus Christ. Or the Lord's Supper that celebrates the actual remembrance of the shedding of the blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Which is of the greater importance? You say, not the symbol, but the reality. Well then, if God said concerning the symbol, if you do not observe it, you will be cut off from among the children of Israel. Of how much importance and what penalty should there be if you and I fail to remember the Lord Jesus Christ? I can remember the old ones years ago, and their fault was this. If there were going to be any forsaking of the assembling ourselves together, what they would do is come out and remember the Lord, and then they would disappear. They would be gone. But what happens to us today is that the Lord's Supper comes and goes, and then we come to the other meetings. Well, 11 o'clock, perhaps Sunday evening, and then perhaps Wednesday. But what happened to them was they said, well, I remember the Lord, that's enough. But it isn't enough. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's not one meeting that you're to be present, but it says this in Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. It was not one gathering that they continued in, but no less than four. And those things can be applied to the church today, and God expects us to be present at them all. And there should be no such thing as this. I wonder what I'm going to do on Wednesday. I wonder what I'm going to do Sunday morning at 9:30. There should be no question. There's no question. I know what's going to be done Lord's Day morning at 9:30. By God's grace, I'm going to be here to remember the Lord Jesus. And 11 o'clock, and also in the evening, and Wednesday, because it mentions prayers, the breaking of bread, and then fellowship. Well, that is something that we have in our homes. That's something that is of choice, no specific time. But it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner, as the custom of some is. And I'm thinking this, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The first day of the week, the day of the return of the Lord Jesus, what day is that? Whatever day it was, it says, since you see that day coming, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm wondering just how a child of God would feel if his Savior returned and instead of gathered to his name on the first day of the week, he was somewhere else and he was not sick and he was not defiled, but it was just not important enough or not enjoyable enough for him to come and remember the Lord. This is what it says in 1 John 2. And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall appear, we may have boldness before him and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I would like nothing better. If the Lord were to come tonight, to think, I'm preaching to you and you are here. Had he come this morning, I would have been gathered to his name, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And instead of being ashamed, I would have rejoiced. And as I rose to my feet and had praised him in this world, I could go immediately with him to the next world and continue praising him there. As they do in Revelation 5, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And in heaven all of them are worshiping him, falling down at the feet of the Father and of the Son, who are both sitting upon the throne. And so it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is. What God would have us to understand is the importance to him of certain observances. And even though he says, as often as you do it, even though he does not make it compulsory, and there is no excommunication among us if one could be present but is not present, to God it is a serious offense. I say not to us, but a dear brother, I preached to Eastern Indians, and I was told that with them, if one of the elders or one that comes here all the time, if they miss any meeting, they have to stand up at the next meeting and publicly tell why they were not there. I would think that I could go to a group of the brethren and tell them that I was sick or I was on a journey, but you have to stand up and tell them why you were not there. Do you understand why so few miss the meetings that are associated with the assemblies there? And so this is what I would ask you. Suppose you had to stand up each Lord's Day, and you weren't there last week, and you had no objective reason for missing that meeting. Tell me, would you come more often? You would say, I would get there no matter what. Now, if you're sick like some, by all means, do not come. But if there is a reason that I do not feel like it, I'm just not up to it today. Amazing, when you have to bring home your salary, you are up to it Monday morning, no matter how you feel, to go to work. But when it comes to the Lord's Supper, well, I'm not feeling up to par, and so I will stay home. In the Old Testament, God said, you're going to be there, or you're going to be cut off from your people. And so understand, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We say missing a meeting. God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know you should be there. And if you're not there, you forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And if you know that the Lord Jesus is there, and he says, with desire have I desired to eat this Lord's Supper with you, having suffered, I want to see how much you love me. And I'm afraid that many of us have this testimony, the testimony of Peter, though all forsake you, I'll never forsake you. I will go to prison. I will die for you. And then, you know what happened when that little maid spoke to him and asked him, weren't you a follower of the Lord Jesus? And all of us, speaking forth our great devotion to the Savior, and the thing that he requested, I want you to do this in remembrance of me when the time comes to collectively remember him. When the priesthood of all believers can be practiced at that time, we are not there. And I say that the Lord Jesus is disappointed. And when Peter had boasted but then denied the Lord, it said the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And so I want you to remember, all of you who do not gather together the first day of the week to break bread, I want you to think of the Lord Jesus looking down upon you, and think of the face of the Savior as he looked at Peter. All that was involved when the Savior looked at him who had boasted of his great love for the Savior, and the Savior looked at him, and he was a complete failure. And so let us examine ourselves, and let us not forsake, not miss, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And let us come and bring something. Yes, thank God. There were many songs this morning, but still there were our own personal praises. Several stood and worshiped God, and that is good. Now, some may not be eloquent, but God can give you a tongue. And some may not have the ability to rise and give long, flowery praises to God, but that isn't necessary. Some of the best are the shortest that come from the heart. Now, some get up and go on and on and on, and you wish that his basket weren't so full. But some come, and they have just a little in their basket, but it's full because their capacity is small, and that is acceptable in the sight of God. The rich came and put much into the treasury. The widow woman came and cast in two mites. And the Lord Jesus said she gave more than all. And so perhaps sometimes we older brethren that stand up and eloquently worship the Lord, and then a young one or one not so able stands up and from his heart worships his Savior. The Lord is able to say he gave more in a minute than this brother gave in 5 minutes, but we do what we are able to do. And so the Lord tells us that this is expected of us. Now, in Numbers 9, they had to be clean or they could not observe the Passover. And also in 1 Corinthians 11, we have to be clean or we cannot observe the Lord's Supper. You say, well, that's why I don't come. I don't feel worthy. I'm just not clean. Look, what God expects you to do is this, to examine yourself, and if you are unclean, not remain unclean. But it says concerning the Jews in the Gospel of John, they went up before the feast to purify themselves. And this is what examining yourself is for. You see that you are unworthy, that there is uncleanness, there is failure in your life of the past week. And that is when you kneel before God and you ask forgiveness and cleansing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And having done that, then, having discovered you were unworthy, through prayer, God does the cleansing. He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And then you are prepared to come and remember the Lord. Our Savior has done everything for us. He is the covenant. His is the sacrifice of the covenant. And in return, he asked this, this do in remembrance of me. So little ask for so much done. Let us not be among those who forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we marvel that you would give us this chance to come back and fall at the feet of Jesus and give him thanks for what he did for us. The leper did, and you expected all the Israelites to do it, and you expect us to do it as well. We pray, Father, that this simple, this request that is so incomparable in comparison to Him who establishes that new covenant with us. We pray that you shall forgive us, our Father, in not longing to meet with the Savior as He did. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. Let there be in our heart, with desire have I desired to eat this Lord's Supper with you, my Savior. And so put that heart in us, our God. And let us be faithful in observing and coming to the meetings, our God, so that when the Son comes, He shall find us where we should be, doing what we should be doing. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, we pray. Amen.